Just read that one little passage there, and then you can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a little thought tonight that the Lord laid on my heart. Just to hopefully be an inspiration to all of you. What is our purpose here, right? So Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise." He may be seated. Amen. So tonight I want to speak about the bride tree of life. And I want to get into this because it just, to me, can really simplify who we are, why we're here, what is this all about, and how many here believes that Jesus Christ is coming back again? He promised it. We know he is. We know we're part of that. How many believes we're living in that time frame? I heard a minister pretty well known on the radio. It's amazing because I'd heard him last year teach about the seven church ages, which was shocking to me, but they allowed him to speak it, and he's a well-known person. And then just a week ago, he's made the statement that he believes that we probably won't see the second coming of the Lord in our lifetime. So it's kind of like, wow, that's strange. You were right on. You were onto something there. What happens? But thank you, Brother James. How many believes that we know, how many knows we are in the day? Amen. This is it. But all that's needed is the last person to come in. When the bride is done, when his body is built, that's it. Adam received his bride as soon as the Lord got done building her. As soon as he was done, he presented her. And so Christ is going to have a bride. He's going to have a church. She's going to be presented to him when she's ready. But she can't go into rapture until she's ready.
Amen.
So how many wants to be ready?
Yes.
And it's not enough to sit and hear the preaching of the word. That's part of it.
Yes.
Because the Bible says the bride makes herself ready. Doesn't it?
Amen.
So you have something to do. And our job is to be fruitful,
yes,
to be righteous, and to win souls. That's what we're here for. The ultimate goal, and I'm going to end on this as well, is going to be this, that we are going in a rapture as soon as the last person comes into Christ. So that's all we need to do. I mean, we're not waiting for the preacher to do it. We're not waiting for, you know, some man to rise from the dead early before anyone else and get everybody ready. It's done. We have everything we need for the journey. We have it all. We're ready. We just have to get the final person in. When the body is complete, we're going. We're going to meet the Lord. He's going to have a perfect bride. She will not be missing an eye. She will not be missing a tooth. She will not be missing a finger. She's going to be perfect. Hallelujah. And she's going to be righteous. He'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. So that church will be missing nothing. Amen. She'll be perfect. Wisdom is personified later on or earlier in Proverbs. We're in Proverbs already, so we'll read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. And it's very powerful because it really speaks about who we are as the bride of Christ. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Speaking about wisdom personified. But the bride is just like Jesus, amen, is the wisdom of God. On earth, while he was on earth, he was the wisdom of God. He's still the wisdom of God. But while he's in us, he's still the wisdom of God. Where do you think we get all our wisdom from? It's not from education. It's not from going to college. It's not from some smart person. It's not from some great leader. We certainly didn't get it from Brother Branham because he had a seventh grade education and he dropped out of high school. He dropped out of school. I guess he never made it to high school. I don't know. The point I'm making is our wisdom is beyond a human being. It came through a prophet, but it's coming from God. And he brings it to the word, which is written by prophets. Can you say amen? Those are all uneducated people. I mean, look how uneducated John the Baptist was. I mean, he can't even find someone who can make some decent clothing. I mean, and there's got to be better food than eating locusts dipped in honey. That's pretty disgusting. But actually, now it's a delicacy. So who knows? Maybe he was onto something. But the bottom line is that, you know, God doesn't care about the outside education. He's looking for an inside wisdom that we get. When you catch revelation of God's word and what he means, that's wisdom. then all the seminaries fall to the sides because they don't really help. Amen? The body of Christ is the tree of life. The prophet of God preached a message called The Restoration of the Bride Tree, if you remember that. That whole six-hour sermon was very powerful because what he was saying was the original church was God's pattern. That was the way that he intended. Just like when he first formed Eve, the woman, she was made perfect, and then sin came. So what we have coming out of the day of Pentecost through the church age and the dark ages is not that they lost the vision and they couldn't reproduce it. That's why God had to send a message in this hour. Do you believe that? To bring back, to restore back a people, a bride, which he called a bride tree. It's very strange language, but you'll understand it better as you read what the tree of life really is. And to restore her would mean that we would have another church just like the early church that would be like in the book of Acts. Does that make sense? So we honestly, there's things going on around the world. You can see little spurts and splashes and some not even in the ranks of the message of the Spirit of God moving people, you know, some kind of small little revival, but small as far as the whole world is concerned, but pretty big for where it's happening. And you might think, wow, there's something there, there's something here. There's only little things to just tease us a little bit. We hold in us the power to speak worlds into existence. We hold in us the beginnings of a ministry that's never struck the earth before like this. It's really Acts chapter 2 times 10. It's here. It's getting ready to happen. And it will trigger a resurrection and a body change and everything else because you have to have faith. Right? How are you going to have, if you need faith for healing, how are you going to have a body change? Talk about a healing. That's going to take some faith, don't you think? So that rapturing faith is something that I believe it's already in you. It's dormant. And it's there, and it's getting ready, and when God launches that, you can just forget about it. We're going to be kissing this world goodbye. It's about to happen. So that's why I want to get you excited about that. Now, it says over in Psalm chapter 1, as you've probably read it many times, but speaking about somebody not sitting in the seat of the scornful and not walking in the counsel of the ungodly and all those things. So it says, he, that person, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. One thing I want to speak about the tree of life, it's a tree that's planted by rivers of water. I think that's powerful. That brings forth its fruit in its season. It never misses the season. It's always seasonable. It always comes in the right time. It's always going to be there right when it's needed. Whose leaf also shall not wither. That's a pretty amazing tree. Evergreen. That's great stuff. And whatever he does shall prosper. So that is the kind of tree this bride is supposed to be. That is the kind of a plant that we are. An evergreen, constantly producing fruit in its season. And there's even a little scripture that we'll read later on in Revelation. It talks about the trees of life that will be in the paradise of God that will actually produce fruit every month for 12 months. 12 different kinds of fruit. Talk about a smart tree. Smartphones, smart cars, smart homes. That's all junk compared to what we're going to. We're going to have smart trees. We're going to have smart animals. Bears will no longer eat other animals. No animals will eat other animals. They're going to get along with each other. We're going to have smart animals. How many here would love to have a big, huge Bengal tiger as a pet? Wouldn't that be kind of fun? I get excited about that. This is something you talk to the young people about. What would you like to have as a pet that you can't have nowadays but would be really cool when we're there with the Lord? We're living, you know, reigning for 1,000 years or into the new heavens. Wouldn't it be great to have this huge polar bear that just gets down, lets you hop on its back, and then it will just take you everywhere? Wouldn't that be amazing? You're like, why in the world is there going to be a polar bear? Or isn't the weather going to be perfect? It doesn't matter. God knows what he's doing. He's got this all figured out. And if any one of you says your pet, you're going to have pet mosquitoes, I am going to have to pray for you because we have no mosquitoes. We don't need those. No. Once we are born again, once we experience the Holy Spirit, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are like a tree that's planted and attached to the river of life. Can you say amen? It's not like you had an experience and now you think back about how great that was. You get to have once you're truly baptized and born again, you're just tapped in. You are connected to life and water. And it just keeps on flowing and you just pick it up. It's for you. And the reason for that is that it's to nourish the roots. Is that right? It brings all kinds of elements from the earth, minerals, into the roots. But the roots, by the way, aren't there just to survive on their own. They're there to do a job. The roots pulls up the water, pulls up all the elements, and begins sending it up through the whole plant, the whole tree. The sap itself goes up, turns into sap, nourishes the bark, the branches. Everything starts shooting out. Everything starts growing. The leaves start coming. And then finally the fruit. Praise the Lord. That's the whole thing. And it's exciting when you start thinking if the early church came out of that Pentecostal experience and they were just healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils and speaking with new tongues and prophesying and people were being benefited, they were attracted, they wanted to have that. Whatever they had was amazing, it was supernatural. If that original fruit of the tree, let's call them oranges, if that's what it was, then if the tree ever produces an original branch again, guess what? It's going to be oranges all over again, right? It's got to be. It's going to be the same thing, plus more, plus more, plus more. Hallelujah. So let's talk about how the plant or the tree of life looks. It's got the roots, it's got the sap, it's got the bark or branches, amen, it's got the leaves, and it's got the fruit. If you can remember those five things, we've taught on it before, but I want you to think about those. Let's think about them in practical terms because each one of those five parts of the tree are five parts of your spiritual life in Christ. Praise the Lord. And Brother Tom, you and I spoke about it, I think, last Wednesday. But the roots are your prayer life. The roots are hidden. Jesus said, when you pray, don't do it out in public. Do it in private. Do it in your closet. Do it between you and God. God who sees in secret will reward you openly. Whatever you pray about in secret is going to come out. It's going to show. He's going to bless you with it. If you want your blessing on your children, he's going to do it. If you want it on your husband, your wife, he's going to do it. Work, whatever it is in your life that you need, if when you pray and seek God earnestly, even though it's in the darkness of a closet, let's say, it's going to show up in your everyday life. The sun will be shining on it. Amen? Think about how powerful the roots. And prayer really is about seeking God. Do you know sometimes the Lord will let, if our prayer lives start to linger, start to languish and get a little weak, and we're just not praying like we should, he'll let something happen. And I know we think that's awful mean of God, but God is smart. He's not, you know, he's wise. And if something goes a little south in our life, if our health suffers a little, if something, what do? Right away, we start praying. Amen. We just pray more than we ever prayed before. And that's sometimes God's way to communicate with us. I miss you. You're too far from me. Your little five-minute prayer or your little prayer over breakfast is not, you know, there needs to be something more. Because that, when you're saying, Lord, bless the food, all of it is seeking God because you're seeking his blessing. But sometimes prayer is, we focus too much on one part of it. We are seeking his hand instead of seeking his face. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the difference. Sometimes we seek out each other because we need help with something. If you keep doing that after a while, the person you're seeking out is going to feel a little bit used. But if you seek out others because you just want to talk, you just want to share, you just want to get to know them better, that's different. So, you know, in the Bible, it talks about seeking God's hand, seeking God's help, but it also speaks about seeking his face. That's not for help. That's just because I want to know him. The one who has helped me so much, the one who blessed me, the one who has filled me with his spirit, the one who gave me the new birth, I want to know him. He saved me. He redeemed me. I want to know him. Why wouldn't we want to know him? Does that make sense? So the roots are cool because however deep the roots can go, that's how strong the tree can grow. However deep the roots can grow, then that's how strong the tree will grow. So remember, it's more about going deeper. And there are some trees that are built very uniquely because they have like a tap root that goes straight down, and then they have roots that go sideways. And actually, the sideways roots that are just below the surface are really what gives that tree the ability to move back and forth and not fall over. If it was just a straight root down in the ground, you know, it's going to topple. So, and I've heard it say, it said that the wind that blows the tree back and forth actually strengthens the root system, makes it dig further, further, deeper. It's pretty powerful stuff. So that's number one, the roots. Number two is the sap, because obviously the purpose of the roots is to bring the water out of the earth into the plant, into the tree. And that water is a type of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So the sap is a type of our worship. We should have, Paul said in the Bible, we should pray in the Spirit, but we should also sing in the Spirit. We should worship in the Spirit. And that sap, water, life that comes from Christ or from the Holy Spirit is what has come into us, like an artesian well that's just bubbling up. It's to cause us to have life moving through the tree. As soon as you cut off the sap, the whole thing just dies. It won't survive. It requires the sap, and that's worship, glorifying God. Praise the Lord. Seeking God, that's the roots. What's the sap? Glorifying God. That's why we're here. That's our whole purpose. We can't just let all creation, all the nations declare the handiwork of God and His glory. We can't let the rocks be the thing that's crying out. We can't let all nature be worshiping and the trees clapping their hands and the hills skipping and shouting. They're all doing it. And His ultimate creation over all that is sitting around complaining and thinking, I'm an agnostic, I'm a theist, I'm an atheist. Or, you know, we make these stupid decisions. The rest of nature gets it. They know who God is, but we can't let them outshine us who are truly children of God and believers. So that's number two. Sap is the water. Like somebody says, I hear preachers say, you know, after you preach the word, let's pour some water on it, right? So we start worshiping. And that's kind of what it is getting a drink, water. Number three is the bark and the branches, which is ties into receiving the word. Praise the Lord. It's the protection of the word. The bark protects the tree. It protects the sap lines. It protects the plant so it can survive. The branches are what supports everything else. Does that make sense? It supports the leaves, the leaves and the fruit, and keeps those things where they're supposed to be. So it's really a type of receiving God's word, growing in Christ, becoming sanctified, becoming righteous, becoming clean in your living, everyday life. In other words, where the rubber meets the road, the word starts to translate into your life as a way to live rather than just knowledge. Praise the Lord. So it's receiving the word, growing in God. You do that when you come to church to hear the word of God. You do that when you listen to a message. You do that when you start reading your Bible. And that should be something you do every day. All these things are something you can do every day. So the roots are prayer. The sap is worship. You say, how do I worship every day, Brother Elijah? I can't sing worth nothing. I don't care if you open your windows and listen to the birds singing. Just join in with them. They're worshiping God, but you should be able to outshine the birds. You can put articulated words to why is God so good. It's really just an attitude of thankfulness every day. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. You know, I realized something today, and I think it's a chronic condition, probably worldwide, but people do it for different reasons. American people, of all people, have less reason to be worried. Jesus said, you know, don't be worried about where you're going to get your food or what clothing you're going to wear. You know, and he was talking about the roof over your head, really basic stuff. We don't worry. Americans don't worry about that. We don't worry. That's not a worry. But we're worried about stuff. It's just the nature of human beings to be stressed out and worried about something. And the thing is, you might be someone here who says I don't worry about it. But every single one of us, I think, do it under the surface. We don't even know we're doing it. Until you really, this is a technique that you can use, that I use, but you have to stop yourself, and you might even have to schedule a time of day to do it, but anyway, stop yourself. If you're in the middle of it, it could be while you're driving, it might be something, but just start thinking, ask yourself the question, am I feeling stressed right now? Am I feeling a little bit concerned about something? Because once you can start identifying that it is going on, Then you change it right away by saying, Lord, I am free. I give all my cares on you. I throw them on you. I cast them on you. I throw them down at Calvary. You just start lopping it off. All of a sudden, you're going to start feeling relief. Like, wow, why was I so under pressure? You don't realize you're doing it in its habit. And we create these neural pathways that we just do it all the time. And you've got to use a technique that stops it. And even if you're driving your car, I don't care if the guy next to you thinks you're a nut. You start yelling and shouting and giving glory to God and praising him for all his goodness. Do it anyway, because the freedom you're going to have is huge. We are just so traumatizing ourselves under this crazy unwritten pressure. We don't even know how to put a word on it. We don't even know we're doing it. We just think, oh, I got to go here, I got to go there, I got to do this. But we get all under this stress. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the moment. Thank God you're a believer. Thank God you're a child of God. Amen. Let's stop being all stressed out. That's the sap. Let the sap flow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bark and branches. Remember, receiving the word. I mean, all those three right there, those first three, for me, I knock them out right away. As soon as I wake up in the morning, my first thing is I want to talk to the Lord. My first thing in the morning is I've got to, and that was the last thing I did the night before. But 8 hours went by. 8 hours. You know, when the cat's away, the mice play. And when you're sleeping, the devil's running around trying to do stuff. But actually, the fact of the matter is his hands get a little bit tired at night. That's kind of nice. Some of you work late into the night or whatever. I know you have to. But just have to know that you end that way, but you start the same way. You're going to start your day by just right away talking with the Lord. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. What if I have to go to the bathroom, Brother Elijah? The Lord will heal you. Just pray, pray, pray. No, if you have to do that, you have to do that. Those are things. But just make that your first thing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek my Lord. And then, for me, I like to just put on some worship, put on some music. You can do it while you're praying, but just have something that just makes you start to sing, start to worship, start to listen to the words of the redeemed that are singing to glorify the Lord. Amen? And then get into the scripture. Just get the Bible out where you can just read a verse, two verses. It doesn't matter. Read as much as you want, and then just kind of soak it up. Just think about what you just read and go about your day. If you start out that way, a lot of the rest will come, because the leaves are going to show up and the fruit's going to show up. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And really, it's if you do those three things, and because it's all about, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but it's all about you being the one with the leaves, not needing the leaves. We do need it. I'm going to talk about what the leaves are in a minute. But you being the one producing fruit. Not looking for fruit, not being just a, because we're Americans, right? We're consumers. Everything's about what can I consume. But we're Christians first. And it's about making ourselves available for others who need something that we can provide. And God has raised us up to be the tree of life. Our purpose for being here is to give life, to impart life to other people. We already have it. Let's share it with somebody else. All right, so number four is the leaves. We talked about leaves. What are the leaves? It's fellowship. Fellowship, resting in God. You know how Brother Branham said, laying under the shade of the tree. And the Bible talks about the birds shall find the place where they'll sit in the branches, build their nests, and enjoy the shade of the leaves. The leaves, the Bible talks about it, we'll get to in a minute, but it leaves bring healing, brings shalom. Amen? It creates an atmosphere. The leaves are the fellowship that you can have with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, with your mother, your father, your family, whoever it is. This family, right here in this church, fellowship. Make a way that you are making sure you're having fellowship. That's why I believe regularly coming to church is a way, not just to hear the word, but to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's healing. It has healing power because it's a mental healing we just talked about a minute ago. There's something encouraging when a brother shares a story or a sister shares a story, a testimony. You feel like, I can relate to that. I've been there. That's amazing. They got a resolution to that, and that's something that can really help me. So keep that in mind. That's number four. The leaves are a fellowship. And in other words, rest. Amen. Remember, the secret of the supernatural is resting, right? And number five is the fruit. We finally got to the fruit, Brother Elijah. Praise the Lord. It's ministry. Every single person here who has fruit coming out of your life has an opportunity to minister to others, to give to them a manifestation that'll help them in their life. People who are seeking for help, they need Christ. But we are the body of Christ. Does that make sense? So we are that tree of life. It's evangelizing and serving in the Lord. How many wants to serve the Lord? How many wants to do according to what he will? How many desires to be fruitful? We know that Jesus said it very clearly, right? If you abide in me, I abide in you. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He's kind of speaking about grapes. But that's really cool because what he's saying there is all the life that's in me, I'm going to pour it into you. And then ultimately, you're going to produce grapes, fruit. And he said, my goal is for you to be fruitful, but also to be very fruitful. He didn't want us to just produce a grape here or there. He wants us to be absolutely abundant with fruitfulness. Amen? All right, so let's go through this one more time. Roots. There's a Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out his roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. That's great, right? We have nothing to be afraid of. What if heat comes? So what? What if bad things happen? So what? I'm a tree planted by the water. I'm in good shape, man. I'm not worried about it. Praise the Lord. But, excuse me here. I bounced out of there for a second. Okay, so, but its leaf will be green. So, and even if the heat comes, even if it's a desert situation, you'll be the one standing out. That everyone else will look and see all these trees wilting. And here's this one tree with green leaves. What is going on with that tree? Well, that tree's planted by river, by water. His trust is in the Lord. Amen? His hope is in the Lord. So it says, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I really love that, don't you? I love that because we just talked about it, but I'll just repeat it again. We will not be anxious in the year of drought. You know how people talk, oh, today's going to be a bad day. Oh, something's going to happen. The weather, oh, you know. Oh, this year, everyone's talking about it. This year is going to be bad. We're going to have a bad winter. Oh, we're going to have a bad. Isn't it weird? Like, it's always going to be something bad. You know, people want to feel like they have something to add. They want to feel like they have some kind of new news that can get your ears to perk up. So it's bad news perks your ears up better than good news. Wouldn't it be nice to just start spreading good news around? Who really cares? Oh, this year is going to be a horrible. It's going to be a drought this year. You know, global warming and climate change and the earth is flat and. And oh boy, oh, we're in a lot of trouble because nobody's paying any attention. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad, Eeyore. But let me tell you the truth here. We have some good news. This is going to be a great year.
Amen.
2019 is going to be the greatest year that's ever happened. That's going to make people's ears perk up. They're going to be like, why do you say that? There you go. We have an opportunity. You are being someone whose roots have been so deeply embedded in the truth that nothing can come out of you but fruit that is beneficial, that people can get excited about, that people can enjoy, that satisfies fruit. So you're here to be those kind, have those kind of roots. Sap. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted. Psalm 104:16. Don't you love that? The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Listen, when something, you get a bad message or something comes your way that's negative and you start getting all negative, you're being depleted. Something's wrong with your sap. We need to get that sap flowing. Amen. Somebody says, you're acting like a fool. Just say, yeah, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? You know, because you're not fooling me. Praise the Lord. That's the way you got to be. Just raise your hand and rejoice. Here's the bark and the branches out of Romans chapter 11, verse 16. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. So if the whole thing, the Holy Spirit, gives you a holy birth, everything about you is going to be holy. The branches especially are important because that's the kind of life you start living. That's the example you start showing people. The tree of life lives a life that is holy, that's righteous. That's Romans 11:16. How about the leaves? And I told you I was going to get to this. Revelation chapter 22, verse 2 says, in the middle of the street, that is in the middle of the stream, and on either side of the river, or in the middle of the street, it might be the word street, but it says, on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Now, it talks about fruit there, but watch what it goes to. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Leaves for the healing of the nations. Remember how beautiful it was when Jesus was going down into Jerusalem and they started to tear off those branches and lay them down? There was something about those leaves and Hosanna to the King, you know, the Prince of Peace. And it's all about there's going to be peace in the world when the Messiah shows up. And that is actually a strong belief among the Jewish people. And that's actually a strong belief we should have. When Jesus comes, it's going to be peace on earth. Praise the Lord. He'll finally fulfill that part. So that's your leaves. Peace, healing between the nations, international peace. But also, it speaks of a kind of peace that we get to experience when Brother James, who originally is from Africa, and I'm from here. But we're like, we could have the same mother. We're that close. We're brothers, you know. And every one of you is different, but we're so close because of the leaves. It heals us. It brings us together. It causes fellowship. And really, if every local church could be a tree of life, we would stop having these divisions and people not wanting to communicate with each other. We would just love one another. We would work together. We wouldn't care anymore because the leaves are for fellowship. They're for healing. And they bring us together. Hallelujah. And the fruit, finally, number five is the fruit, and that's Matthew 21, 18 through 19, where he says, now in the morning he had returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree, which is a type of Israel as a nation, see what's going on here, the first church God picked out, he was hungry, he saw a fig tree on the road, by the road, and he came to it and found nothing on it. Jesus was searching through the tree, reaching around, feeling, trying to find a fig, even a green one you can eat. But he said it only had leaves. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the tree withered away. That's some powerful stuff. And the reason why I want to get that is because I want to speak about, are we that fig tree? That maybe we have the roots, we have the sap, we have the bark, we have the branches, we have the leaves. Where's the fruit? If Jesus came here tonight and started searching this church, and other churches in Connecticut and New England and all over this United States or all over the world, if he started searching, would he find the fruit? What would he be looking for? Even Jesus said, when I return, shall I find faith? I mean, he just names one thing. He's going to come looking for something. If he enters our lives, is he going to find the figs or not? Are we fulfilling our purpose or not? That's something I ask myself. I want us to ask ourselves how we're doing. Because the fruit, to me, is the thing, the very thing, that's going to bring people to Christ. Does that make sense? That's really the reason for the fruit, is to bring, how do people come to Christ? People don't just wander into the body of the Lord. They don't just decide one day, I'm going to join the church. I mean, people do that, but that's not how you're getting in. It's not that way. They have to come, and they come through a simple process, and really they come because they're invited. Look at all the parables Jesus gives about typing out how people get into the body of Christ, how they get into the kingdom. Somebody invites. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. Sometimes it's an urgent invitation, especially you get near the end. It's got to be urgent. Highways and byways, hedges and bushes. Get in here, you know. And it's by invitation. And people may not respond. Like if you saw a bum when you're pumping gas, let's say tonight we go to pump gas in your car and a bum walks up to you and you know that's a bum and he invites you to come visit him in an alleyway, you know, because he's going to have a party. I mean, you're going to be like, sure, you'll be okay. And more than likely, he's not going to invite you, but you wouldn't be invited. You wouldn't feel like you'd want to be a part of that. There has to be something that the person's displaying that when they invite you, it's vindicated by the way they're living, by their life, and you're attracted to that. You want to be part of that. Does that make sense? So, and the way that works is by being fruitful. If we're being fruitful, if we're being salt, which makes people thirsty, if we're being light, which we know at least attracts moths, but I mean, if you have light and darkness, people are going to be attracted to that because people like light. Most people love light. They want it, they don't want darkness all the time. Speak to anybody who lives above the Arctic Circle in Alaska, and they'll tell you it's sad to have only 4 months of sunlight. The rest of the time, it's dark. But they live there. But they love the light, and they take advantage of it, and they can use it to be very effective in living in that kind of a community or atmosphere. But we're going to be, the only way people come to Christ is they're attracted to Christ. What's the attraction on the mountain, right? That's how people come to Christ. The true seed of God are going to come because something attracts them. And we often think it's the word. And the word is true, but the word preached only is not enough. It's got to be the word lived. If the word is lived and preached, that works. So it has to be something that meets a need. Listen, you are raised by God, born again, to be a problem solver. People have a spiritual hunger problem. They have an emotional hunger problem. People are hungry. And that's why fruit is such a good illustration that's used in the Bible about us, about who we are, because people need fruit. Look at these things. The first, how many knows what the first fruit of the Spirit is out of 9 fruits? How many knows, right? It's love. I mean, how are you going to put a price tag on that? That's probably the number one thing that people are starving for, is love. They don't know what real love is. It's not infatuation. Everybody can have that. People have it all the time, and they still hunger for love. Look at people who get all the money in the world. They get real rich. They have all the big mansions. They have the cars. They have all kinds of paid-for friends. But they end up jumping off a bridge because they missed out on love. You can't buy love. You can't sell enough or trade enough to get love. Look at the second one, joy. I mean, how many people really have joy in this world? How many people do you know that you work with that have real joy? They laugh at a dirty joke. That's not joy. What about real joy? Yes. See, if you have love just coming out of your pores, if you have joy, look, I know this is totally anti-New England, but I don't care. That should make us stand out. If people don't share, like, I got to hold back, keep my cards closed, I'm not going to give away any of these things, these are mine, I'll give it to the people who deserve it, and then they're not even going to get much. That's New England, but we need to stand out so that people say, wow, that's a city on a hill, that's a light, that makes me thirsty, that makes me hungry, and I know where I can get satisfied. That's what people are looking for. Look at that, peace. How about peace? How are you going to put a price tag on peace? Feeling at ease with yourself, no more anxiety, no more stressing out. Even though you get challenged with it, you can still remember, hey, but I've got peace. Remember, the fruit that you're producing is not for you to eat. It's for others. It's for somebody else. That's the whole purpose of the fruit, is to bring more people in. That's how you got in. And look at these other ones, long-suffering. These are qualities that people look at and they say, man, that's valuable. How did you get that? They start thinking of you as somebody of integrity, somebody that has something that not everybody has. It's high quality. Kindness. Remember that little movement, Random Acts of Kindness? That's really cool, though. I mean, that's just something that should be a lifestyle. It's just something we do every day. Don't even think about it. Goodness. Faithfulness, hard to find good loyalty nowadays. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are powerful things. Against such there's no law. That's right there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. If you go back and read it, study it. Those 9 fruits of the Spirit. Now, it says 9. There's more than 9, but 9 is just God's number, right? He attaches that number. It's a fruitful number. And those are the things that people are starving for. We are to produce these, and we're to produce them abundantly. A lot of it. Hallelujah. We're not to be sparing. Well, I think that person deserves 2% of my love, and then I have 98% left. So it doesn't work like that. You can't, it's inexhaustible. Remember, it's all coming from the roots, coming from the river of water, which is the Holy Spirit. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's inexhaustible. So you don't have to worry about it. If you give away the fruit, there's more coming. Much fruit, Jesus said, right? What's the purpose of producing fruit? It's so that others can benefit from them. Others that are in need can be satisfied. They need relief. We bring them relief. We solve problems. People are hungry. People are in need of help. We're here to solve those problems. They need relief. That's why we're here. There's other fruits we can look at as well. Think about if somebody is sick. You are really here to bring healing to somebody. Well, but what if they're not a believer? It has nothing to do with it. The fruit is like Jesus teaching his disciples how to fish. You can't just take the hook of the word and just throw it out in the water and hopefully maybe something will bite the hook. Nobody's going to do it. You've got to put bait on the hook, right? You've got to put a lure on there, something that lures the fish and attracts them. And what's the bait? It's healing. It's other fruits of the Spirit, right? Healing, casting out demons, raising the dead. Those are all things that people are going to pay attention. It's when those events start happening in their lives, they're going to be like, well, up until now, I was an atheist, an agnostic, an unbeliever. I used to believe, I don't believe now. Whatever they were, it doesn't matter what their state is. They are going to be sitting there paying attention now. You remember the man, worst case scenario in the Bible, who was in the Gadarene hillside in the graveyard area, right? And he was cutting himself and people would chain him down. He would break the chains. Supernatural strength. He had so many demons in him that he called himself Legion. The demons in him was doing all the speaking. Legion meaning 2,000, 5,000. We don't even know how many. And we know that at least 2,000 fish drowned because those same demons left the man. But what happened when Jesus cast out the demons out of the man? You know, his life was a life of turmoil after turmoil after turmoil, just nonstop. And now he's sitting at Jesus' feet. Amen. The Bible says, clothed in his right mind. That's a big deal. And maybe none of us can say, oh, I've experienced that too. I mean, but we've all similarly had similar experiences. But we come now to be able to sit at Jesus' feet, clothed in our right minds. And I love it because he goes, I want to go with you, Jesus. But he knew if he just jumped in the boat, he was going to be useless. Because he was from Gadara. That area is totally separate. It's like a dark part around the Lake of Galilee. And he says, no, don't come join me and then be buried under my light. You be a light right where you're at. Stay here and tell everybody what happened. It's amazing. The fruit just keeps on unfolding and keeps getting passed around. It's wonderful, isn't it? But we're here to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. There are all ways that we're bringing relief to people. Can you say amen? And Jesus said that. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. We haven't hit all the world yet. We certainly haven't hit all the world we live in. Even if you were to say just Connecticut, you've got 3.5 million people here. Has every one of these people heard? Even let's say the half of them, have they even a million people in Connecticut heard the truth? Do they even know what the truth is? The average person in Connecticut, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but it's probably well below 50% call themselves Christian in Connecticut. And the actual number of people who even have any kind of a regular life as a Christian, you know, like maybe going to church regularly and reading their Bible or praying, that number is even a lot lower. It's very low. I don't have the numbers with me. You can go look them up. But it's going to be a low number. The bottom line is that most people in Connecticut, from all different walks of life, when they hear the term Christian, they think of, you know, homophobic, you know, anti this, anti that, anti abortion, and that's all they know. They just draw a conclusion right away that I'm over here and you said you're a Christian, oh, then you belong in that cubbyhole, you're over there. And it's a total disconnect. And a lot of Christians feel like, since that's how people are going to feel about me, we even feel it more being in the message, because we're like, we're in the message. How do you even, if you even go to a Christian and start telling them what we believe, they go, oh, well, you belong, we're in our cubbyhole, but you don't belong in our cubbyhole. You belong, we're going to throw you in the waste paper basket. You belong down there in that cubbyhole. You know what I'm saying? And we just isolate ourselves and we start hunkering down and saying, come, Lord Jesus, please come, hurry. Get me out of this waste paper basket. And that is not what he intended us to do. We are going to finish up the Great Commission in a great way. We're going to do it like nobody else's business. That's what I believe. I believe a prophet came to say, the church can't do it, you got to do it. So don't let anyone cubbyhole us. God's calling us to get out of the cubbyhole and do what we're supposed to do. People are people. They're still human beings. They have hearts, they have souls, they have needs, they have hungers, they hurt just like you hurt, they suffer, and they're suffering more than you are. They need our help. So there's a way, and God gives us wisdom to break down the barriers and be able to help them. We have the 9 spiritual gifts. We have the 9 fruits. Look at these spiritual gifts. They're powerful. Listen to this. To one, the word of wisdom. Look at how powerful. The word of wisdom. Imagine that working in your life to help somebody. Somebody you may be talking to at work. You have no other connection except you work at the same place. And then the Lord gives you a word of wisdom into their life. And it exposes what's happening. And they may just realize that's God. You can't know that. Only God can know that. It's not going to be as full drawn out as Brother Branham, where he goes through 12, 13, 15, 20 things in your life and all the details, but just a word, just a simple word of wisdom that maybe something they're thinking about, something they're planning on doing, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, tells you, and you tell them that, and they're just shocked. Word of knowledge, something maybe in their past, by the same Spirit. Another, faith, by the same Spirit. Wouldn't that be amazing? Just having the gift of faith. Anything can happen when you have faith. But the gift of faith, you already have faith, but the gift of faith is on top of it. It's like double power. And somebody here could be anointed by the Holy Spirit, but you're just not activating it. You're just sitting there with a gift of faith and not activating it. Gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, not activated. I believe it's here in this room. By the same Spirit. Another, gifts of healing. I love the plurality of it. Gifts of healing. Could be a mental healing, emotional healing, physical healing. All kinds of healings. And it might be a gift, plural, where you're bringing healing to people by your singing or by your giving or something you do. You might write poetry and it heals people. The Word of God is very powerful. And when it starts being manifested in someone's life, it can do all these things, especially by a gift. Do you believe it? Very powerful stuff. Another one, the working of miracles. I like that, because miracles, as opposed to healing, is something that happens right away. Healing, you pray for somebody, they believe, they go away, and a few days later, a few minutes later, they're healed. But miracles is, boom, it happens right then. That's an amazing gift. I'm wondering who it is right here who has that gift. Right here, somebody has that gift. Just got to let the Holy Spirit go. We just kind of keep the Holy Spirit boxed up. Oh boy, we don't want anyone to be offended. I don't care. If anyone's going to be offended, it's going to be the devil. Human beings are in need, and we have what they need. We have the answer. Look at this one. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. So there's 9 of those, and it's a very powerful. God, he again uses the number 9. Here's what he says, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. I like this, because if you desire spiritual gifts, I like that he's just telling the whole church, you should want to see any one of these 9 gifts happening in your life. But he says, first, pursue love, because the motive behind any of these gifts should be love. I love people. I want to help people. What if they never come to the Lord? That is not my business. The tree doesn't choose. The tree's sitting there with apples sitting on it. If a bird lands on it and it's a blackbird, the tree doesn't go, hide the fruit and all the branches are bending, trying to keep the blackbird from eating the apple. No, the tree doesn't care. Its purpose is to benefit everybody. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. My blessings that God wants to flow through me, they're for everybody. If somebody receives it, receives the Lord and becomes one of us, wonderful. If they don't, that's God's choice. That's not my decision. You don't get to make that decision. You just get to be fruitful. That's it. And he says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, which is really kind of near the bottom of the list there. But I don't think there's any way to measure that as far as which one's better, which one's... He just says, desire that you may prophesy. There's something very powerful about prophesying. And typically it means you're actually going to say something in the church that's going to be about a person and about something that could happen in the future. Might also be prophecy in the sense that you may say something that's going on in your life, but most of the time it's going to be about something in the future. And it's going to warn people, protect people. You know, let them know, don't go to work today, there's going to be a fire. You know, and then you decide, what do I do? I got to go to work. But then you just kind of wait, you trust the Lord, and sure enough, you get the notice in that there was a fire at the building. That's going to be something that people will start hearing. That was told to me at church. And our faith will grow, and you'll be stronger about just letting people know, hey, it was prophesied from the body of the Lord that this thing is going to happen over here. And everyone can say what they want and have their opinion, and then when it happens, they're going to come back around, you were right. Who is this God, you know? The whole point is getting people to recognize God. God in you. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church, that is the building up of the church, that you seek to excel in. Let the purpose of the gifts be for building up the church. Because how many here can say, back at my first question, how many wants to go in the rapture? How many realize we got to finish the building up of the bride? Every member's got to be in. Then if these 9 spiritual gifts and 9 fruits are active, guess what? The right people are going to come in. Can't keep hiding it. Got to share it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:24-25. I'm wrapping this up now. It says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of the heart are revealed. You can see how Brother Branham's gift of prophesying also revealed the secrets of the heart in a much more extensive way. But even us, God can use to speak a word of prophecy or any of those other things. And what it will do is it'll convict people because their hearts are going to be exposed. They're going to realize they're not a real Christian. That's the biggest thing. There's a lot of people that call themselves a Christian because they were born and raised one. They don't have any experience with Almighty God. Makes a big difference. Praise the Lord. And thus the secrets of the heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly in you or among you, within you. Either way, it doesn't matter. They're going to recognize God is in his people. And that's the whole thing. They want to have what you have. The question I have for you is, can you say with assurance and by your personal experience that people want what you have? I want you to think on this question. Can I say with conviction and by my own experiences that people are dying to get what I have? Not just theoretically, but really, is it happening? When's the last time someone came to you or me or us, any one of us, and said, man, tell me more about what you have. There's something amazing about your faith or your belief or something. If that's not happening, then we have 2 ways to look at it. And one way is, well, the whole world's all shot anyway. They're all going to hell, so they're never going to come close to me. But the other way is, maybe I'm just not shining enough. And I would rather err on that side than to go on the other side. I'm sorry, but it's true. I've been to churches, you know, have something like 50 people. I'm like, hey, you're in a city with 400,000 people. And they literally told me, yeah, but none of them believe this. We've been ostracized. And I was like, and I already said 400,000 because I looked on the demographics. I said, oh, all 400,000 rejected it? And they're like, well, no, but you know. They all have their things. But I mean, it's like, and then that church is gone now, completely gone. They just disappeared because they were already disappearing. That's why I was like, why don't you guys figure out what to do to reach out? And that's why in my heart, I feel like that's for us. We've got to do whatever it takes to get that last person in. Let's do our part. We're here. This is where we're at. We're in Wallingford. Let's do our part to reach out to Southern Connecticut or Central Connecticut and get as many people as we can to know who Christ is. He has returned in our day in the form of the Word. The Word has returned again. And it doesn't matter that the church world has crucified the Word the second time. That didn't stop the disciples. That didn't stop the apostles. That did not stop the women and the men in Jesus' day from continuing to publish who the Lord was. We know who our Lord is. He has arrived. Can you say amen? He's the Word. Let me read a couple more to you, one more verse here. And that is, well, there's a second question. Can you say with assurance by your own experience that people want what you have? And if not, why? So dig into that. Hopefully on Sunday, the Lord willing, next Sunday, the 24th, Brother James will be preaching. But the next Sunday, I'm going to be getting into a little bit more of how we can practically get away, get out there and start being a minister or ministry to others, to people around us in this community that we live in. How many wants to do that? You want to do that? All right, so that's all I care about. I want to go home. But the way out is not burying our heads in the sand and saying, come Lord Jesus quickly. It's acting out the come Lord Jesus quickly, by living it out. And we'll bring that last one and we get to go. Amen? I got so many quotes I could read you. We don't have time. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4 says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Speaking about the fact that that early church was supernaturally used by God. And the purpose was not to prove that they're the big king on the hill, but it was to wake people up that there was a real Jesus, a real Christ, a real Messiah, and it was truly God, and he was living in his people. He was manifesting himself. How many wants to do that? Amen. We are problem solvers. We are here to seek out, to find, and to lead the last seed of God to Jesus Christ. That's it. That's our job. Find them, seek them out, find them, and lead them to Jesus Christ. You can't lead people to a new birth. You can only lead them to the place where the new birth happens. And that's in Christ. It's up to the Holy Spirit to baptize people in. The only people going into rapture are the ones that are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That's the only way we're going. So we got to get them in there, into that place, the atmosphere where it's going to happen. That is our ticket out of here. You say, hey, I got the Holy Spirit. I've got the seal of God. I've got the new birth. I've got my ticket out of here. Yeah, but nothing's going to trigger. The ticket's no good unless the airplane is fired up, oiled up, greased up, gassed up, engines revving, and everybody's in their seat. We're not going until that happens. So it doesn't matter if you have your ticket and your visa and everything else. That's good. But let's get the other person, that if there's a seat missing, somebody's not sitting in that seat, we got to get off the plane and go find them. Will you do that with me? This is the last thing. Highways, byways, hedges, thieves, among the thieves, among the bad people, bad apples, amen. Don't bring them in. Somebody is a seed of God. And they have predestination written all over them, but it's up to us to connect. Let's pray as the musicians come. Lord, we just love you so much, and we thank you, Father, that you're calling us to serve your purpose, Lord. We also ask you to forgive us, Lord, because sometimes we just let life and our problems and difficulties become what we're all about instead of remembering that we're supposed to be thriving, living trees of life with fruit and leaves and benefits for all around us, that everyone can take note that there is a God and he lives among his people. Help us, Lord, to get there, I pray. Forgive us, Lord, for coming up short, when really the goal here is to get that last one in so we can go home to be with you. We ask you to help us to do that now. And we pray for your confidence to rise up within us. And may we just go about our day. We start our day with prayer, with worship, with your word, Lord. And we can go with an attitude of, let me serve somebody. Let me be a ministry. Send me out on my mission, Lord. Let me minister to somebody. And just have that attitude. And let that person come into our pathway. Then we'll be aware of it. We'll pay attention. Grant it, Father, we pray. We ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you for all your prayers. I had work done on this jaw over here. It still hurts tonight. But it was pretty heavy duty. I mean, they were thinking root canal at one point. But I didn't want to swim the canal, so not going no root canal. So by the grace of God, this dentist did a pretty really good job. It's just it still hurts. I mean, it's not unbearable. It's just one of those things that's got to heal. So keep praying for me. I appreciate it. I feel your prayers, and I know I'm healing up, and I appreciate Brother Paul preaching on Sunday, helping us out. He's a good brother. And by God's grace, Brother James, you'll be up to bat on Sunday, and we're praying for you. We're believing the Lord's giving you the words. He's giving you the inspiration, everything you need, and it's going to be a blessing. Amen. I would love to see the Spirit of God move through here, and anybody needs healing from Him, you get to have it. Amen? You just receive it. So expect. I want you to come expecting. And the Lord will grant it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know. Amen. Sing it. Where I'm going soon. Where I'm going soon. If anybody asks you, if anybody asks you. Where I'm going, where I'm going soon, tell them going up yonder. Let's all stand. We're going up yonder, going up yonder, yes, to see. Amen. One more time. Going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Going up yonder, yes, to be with my Lord. Let's sing another verse. Amen. I can take a pain. Sometimes there's heartaches that they bring. The comfort in me, I'll soon be gone. If God gives me grace, and He will, I'll run this race until I see my Savior face to face. I am and you are going up yonder. Sing it now. We're going up yonder. We're going up yonder, yes, to be with our Lord. Oh, sing it now. Going up yonder. Going up. Come on, brother. Yes, we're going up yonder. Amen. Sing it again now. Amen.